Our text will be the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 18. Appreciate the opportunity to be before you this morning. I would have thought that as one looked at the schedule and saw the title of In-Law Interference, that we would just have an audience full, the house would be just full this morning. In-Law Interference is, when I first got the topic, I thought, well, are they really joking with me or not? In-Law Interferences. I do appreciate being here, appreciate the elders of this congregation, and Tom and the former instructors that I had here, Roger and some of the men that I went to school with are just super people and have helped me to be where I'm at in preaching the gospel, and I sure appreciate these men. Exodus chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father, said he, was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. You may have heard many of the mother-in-law jokes or father-in-law jokes that are around. The mother-in-law jokes seem to be the ones that are most popular. I know some are told just for laughter. I'm sure some are told because of that's the way they feel about their in-laws. I'm sure that many divorces could be attributed to the fact that there were bad in-law relationships. What is your view of such? How important are these relationships for the entire family unit? I know of Christians, and I'm not using that term loosely, I'm talking about members of the church. I know of Christians where both parties, in this case a son-in-law and a mother-in-law, who refuse to worship together. I know of older adult Christians who despise or abhor the person that their child married. I know of younger Christians, married Christians, now again, I'm not using the term lightly, members of the church, who look at their in-laws, their older in-laws, with contempt. I know that daytime trash TV looks at such relationships and they look at it and publicize that in a very, very bad way. For various reasons, in-law relationships are not what they should be, even among Christians. Jealousy and pride and envy seem to overflow into the lives of many. And yet Jethro and Moses in Exodus 18 had a very, very good relationship with one another. They had everything but contempt for one another. Jethro could have been jealous of Moses. He could have been jealous of the relationship that Moses had with God. Jethro could have been jealous of the relationship because Israel was God's chosen people. Jethro could have disliked Moses for a thousand different reasons, and the same for Moses. Moses could have puffed up and decided, this is my wife, these are my children, I'll take care of my wife and children, Jethro. Moses could have told Jethro to mind his own business when it came to the affairs of Israel and what God had told them to do. Moses could have looked at Jethro with defiance and bitterness. And yet Jethro and Moses had respect and love for one another. Two qualities of life that surely help life make life worth living. Exodus 18 gives us a godly picture of in-law relationships. Godly in-law relationships contain love and concern. Pick up in verse 5 with me, please. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, the New King James says, bow, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Now Jethro and Moses had a deep concern for one another. In verse 7, after a 1 year's absence from one another, Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. The Bible says that he bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being. It is difficult to understand how in-laws can constantly, continuously be at odds with one another. It's almost impossible to understand how that can happen when both parties are members of the church. In Romans 12 and verse 10, the Bible says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, the writer says, let brotherly love continue. In 1 Peter 1 and 22, love one another with a pure heart fervently. In verse 8 of our text, is the foundation for enduring relationships. Godly in-law relationships embrace reverence. Pick up in verse 9. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of the Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now reverence is deep respect for God. After Jethro heard of all the good things that God had done for Israel, the Bible says in verse 9 that he rejoiced. And then he said in verse 10, blessed be the Lord. And then notice this great statement in verse 11. He said, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, little g gods. As a brotherhood of believers, we should have a deep reverence for God. Do we truly believe that the Lord, the God of heaven, is above all gods, little g gods? Do we truly believe that? Is the God of heaven above the God of jealousy? Is the God of heaven above the God of envy? Is the God of heaven above the God of hate? Above the God of materialism? Above the God of selfishness? In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Paul says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Are we blinded by the God of the world and the works of the flesh? Or will we embrace the fruits of the Spirit and reverence? And so here is Jethro. Jethro is a man who sees the blessings that God has bestowed upon Israel. Jethro is a Gentile. Jethro sees that God is above all gods. Jethro sees the goodness of God. Here's a man that has a better insight of the true God of heaven than most of the people of Israel. A Gentile. You know, we are a lot like Israel of old. Sometimes we murmur and complain, and we often fail to see God for who he really is, and fail to have a deep appreciation for God. And when we fail to have a deep appreciation for God, we then begin to fail to have a deep appreciation for other people. And when we fail to have a deep appreciation for other people, then we complain about them. It is the attitude of haughtiness. The wise man of Proverbs in chapter 16 and verse 18 said, pride comes before destruction and a haughty attitude before a fall. Godly in-law relationships embrace reverence. Godly in-law relationships embraces the privilege of worshiping together. Look at verse 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Jethro had a good insight of God. He then acted on his faith in worship by taking a burnt offering and sacrifices. One of the greatest privileges that we have is to be able to come together before God in worship. You know, my wife and I were married for 5 years before I became a member of the church. And yes, I love my wife, and yes, I had a good relationship with my in-laws. But when I became a Christian, that really intensified. That really intensified. It's a privilege, an opportunity, a command that is not to be taken lightly to come together to worship God. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Several years ago, a new mother-in-law came up to me after the services. And she told me that her son-in-law refused to let his wife, her daughter, come to the worship service of the church. Sad. Very, very sad. On another occasion in premarital counseling, where the bride-to-be was a Christian and the groom-to-be was not, the groom-to-be told me, "I will not worship with my wife. I just will not do it." John 4 and verse 24 tells us that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are not to worship according to traditions, according to our feelings, according to what we think, but according to truth, the truth of God's Word, and in spirit with the right attitude, with the right mentality. And the bumper sticker that was very popular some years back that said the family that prays together stays together has a lot of meaning to it. Has a lot of meaning to it. Godly in-law relationships involves listening. We see that in verses 13 through 18. We won't take the time to read the entirety of that text. But you'll see, if you read that first and foremost, Moses listened to God. Moses listened as God called him to leave Midian and to return to Egypt. Moses listened and followed as God led him through his trials with Pharaoh. Moses listened and as God gave him the commands on the banks of the Red Sea to stretch out your hand and the waters divided, Exodus 14 and verse 6. And if we're ever going to have godly in-law relationships, then we need to listen to the Word of God. God said from the very beginning, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Genesis 2, verse 24. And young married couples need to realize that they must leave mom and dad and begin a life for themselves. And older in-laws, the parents need to realize that their children are now joined to another. And may offer this advice, if you will. When petty disputes arise between your child and their spouse, by all means, don't take sides. Don't take sides. Listen to what God said in Genesis 2:24. "Therefore a man shall leave his mother and father, and the two shall become one flesh." Listen to the Word of God as He speaks through Paul. "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord," Ephesians 5, verse 22. Listen to the Word of God as He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it," Ephesians 5, verse 25. Jethro and Moses listened to God and then to one another, and they respected one another. When it comes to in-law relationships, listening is a top priority. When you stop listening as a young adult or as a parent, you then begin to criticize. And when you criticize, relationships then begin to fall apart. Listen and treat one another with respect. Godly in-law relationships embodies the offering and the accepting of godly advice. And we see that in verses 19 through 24. And this is something that I think is difficult for people to follow. Jethro offers some godly advice, and Moses accepts. In verse 24, Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Now at this time, Moses is at least 80 years of age. At this time, Moses has been married and has two children. And he has been that way for about 40 years thereabouts. Now, why didn't Moses tell Jethro, his father-in-law, "Look here, Jethro, I'm 80 years old. I got two growing kids. You mind your own business." Why didn't Moses tell Jethro that? Why didn't Moses say, "Look here, old man, I've led 2 million people out of Egypt. I crossed the Red Sea. I went through all kinds of trials and troubles and tribulations and pains and suffering. You just mind your own business." But Moses didn't do that. Moses didn't do that. He respected his father-in-law. And Moses had learned some things about meekness in the 40 years that he was in Midian. But first and foremost, Jethro offered godly advice. That's why Moses listened. Moses knew that with this godly advice that the laws of God would be taught. Look at verses 20 and 21. "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of ten." Oh, how we need able men, men of truth. Oh, how we need men who hate covetousness to be the heads of families. And oh, how we need godly men to be leaders in the church, to be leaders of our communities, to be leaders of our nation. Now, I don't know whether you know too much about the organization called Promise Keepers. I'll just tell you, I don't know a whole lot about them, only what I've read in some of the publications that I get. But I will tell you this. We don't need such an organization. To be involved in an organization such as that is a slap in the face to Christ and His cross. And such an organization tells me that the gospel is not sufficient enough to make men to be responsible Christians. And shame on men who have the audacity or the nerve to tell God, "I need something else other than your Son and the cross of Christ to make me to be a Christian and to live a Christian life." And if the gospel does not or cannot change your life or redirect your priorities toward God and toward family, don't waste your time with Promise Keepers or any such organization such as that. Don't do it. Relationships need to have God as a foundation. Such relationships do not have to breed strife. Such relationships do not have to breed envy and jealousy, even with in-law relationships. Even with in-law relationships. Jethro and Moses cared for, respected, and loved one another. They listened and shared their joys and their disappointments. They shared their thoughts and their ideas with one another. They accepted godly advice. They worshiped together. You know, I thank God for the relationship that I have with my in-laws. I think it was Brother Dearman that was introduced yesterday as having two young daughters that was married to two gospel preachers. I like that. I like that. I like a family unit coming together like that for worship. I can imagine that. I love it. And I love my in-laws for showing me the truth and pointing me toward the truth of God's Word. And in many ways, they're like a mother and a father to me. They've always been patient and meek and mild and gentle and humble. And I love them for that. And if you have such a relationship like that with your in-laws, thank God. Thank God. But by all means, build your relationship, your relationships, upon the truth of God's Word. Thank you.